compassion. We know that you continuously seek us from the very first story in Genesis where you walked in the garden calling our names, to your expression and the embodiment of Jesus who walked through the world calling our names, calling us to you. We ask that you open our hearts to your presence and to the divine and your presence within us and in all people. Amen. So today, my sermon title is borrowed. We're inspired by a sermon given by Barbara Ann Taylor, who's a pretty famous theologian currently, and she's, I believe, Episcopal. But I actually didn't hear the sermon. I just saw the title, and I was like, oh, I'm going to borrow that. So all the content of the sermon is original, but the title is not. I just thought it was so cool. And then the image was taken from the slides that our software automatically generates, but I was trying to find an image that went with today's scripture. And this one at first made me a little uncomfortable, but yet it also, because it challenged me to think around my own triggers around certain religious symbols, I thought it would be helpful because this scripture itself is one that I find a little triggering. And I wanted to share a little bit about that with you. But first, related to the lost and found theme, I wanted to share the story of this green hat. About 10 years ago, I went to visit a friend in Staten Island, or in New York City, and I did the tourist round, and I went to Staten Island and the Statue of Liberty. And on Staten Island, I lost my favorite green hat. And 10 or 15 years ago, I was much more attached to things than I am now. I don't know that nowadays I would reach out to an anonymous website and hope on a little anonymous email contact with this, you know, the state park, that I could say, hey, did you find a green hat somewhere in your building? And then lo and behold, I got an email from the park ranger whose name was Mike. And Mike emailed me back. He said, well, I don't know, but I'll go look in our lost and found box. And then the next day, he emailed and said, I found a green wool hat. I think it might be yours. I'll mail it to you. He may emailed it back to me free of charge. And my favorite hat came back to me. But the lost and found, you know, and there's certainly joy in finding things that are important to us. At that time, the hat was important to me. And now as I reflect on this scripture of sinners and the saved and who's found and who's lost in this story, what comes to mind is that there we and ourselves are kind of a lost and found box. In our own experience of ourselves, there may be parts of us that feel lost, and there may be parts of us that feel found. And every now and then it might be visiting that box and rummaging through and seeing what's there and seeing if there's things in that box we would like to reclaim or things in the box that we could let go of. And one of the things that brings up to me is that this scripture, long ago, in this context where Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees were saying, certain people, we just don't associate with those people. Because by doing so, we're unclean. And if we do that, God, we maybe, you know, long ago, 2,000 years ago, not that long ago, you know, even more recently than 2,000 years ago, if people didn't abide by certain rules or they suffered from leprosy or they were different in some way or they were on the margins, it meant that God's grace wasn't with them. And so you didn't associate because you didn't want that to rub off on you because you wanted to be among those who were saved. And one of the ways in which primitive peoples, not so primitive peoples, understood that was by adhering to ritual purity. And that's a line throughout Scripture, right, where the prophets are saying, you're straying too far from God and ritual purity. You got to get back on track or you'll be punished. There are these subtle messages of shame and blame that run throughout Scripture. And what's remarkable about this text is that Jesus is saying in his stories about the shepherd who finds the sheep and the woman who seeks the coin, is that in God's world, in God's view, everybody's important. No one is on the outside. And God is always seeking everybody to draw them closer to God, into community, to overturn stigmas, and to be part of the larger community. And so this scripture, here it is, a core of Christian tenet to bring people in, to release people from stigma, to bring everyone to the table so that we feel comfortable and able to connect with people. And yet, what did our church do? I had a conversation with Becky this morning, and we were, you know, doing communion and altar stuff, and it was just one of those quick moments where you're, you know, putting stuff together, and Becky didn't know what I was preaching on today, but Becky shared, may I share on your behalf, that growing up in a Baptist church, somewhat similar to Liz's story today, that coming out as queer was a shaming experience, that Becky experienced that shaming of the Christian faith. And a shaming of her deepest self. And there are other ways in which the Christian church as an institution has shamed. As someone who's grown up in Ireland, and the shame of the Irish Catholic Church is its own peculiar animal too. Some of you may recollect, that it's been in the newspapers and the media, of the mass graves of infants who've been discovered on former convents where young women, often teenagers, who were victims of rape or incest or accident, a happy accident that maybe became very unhappy, were sent because pregnancy outside of marriage was considered so shameful it had to be hidden. And the conditions at these religious institutions were so awful that both the young girls and the infants often died. And those mass graves are just now being uncovered, and Irish society as a whole has to come to a reckoning around that. And the church has to come to a reckoning around that. And acts of reconciliation and naming that this was wrong. But there was a time in Irish society when that was considered right. And there was a time, and it is still the time in the United States, where it is considered right by many to shame those who are LGBTQIA. And reasons to shame people for all kinds of reasons. So as an institution, the church itself has a history of shaming people, of blaming people for when God seems to leave the world, and then shaming people if they seem different or to have failed. And here we are, Jesus' message was so much to be inclusive. The other thing that it brings to mind is that in my own life, of course, as part of a Catholic, an Irish Catholic family, even a progressive one, the generation of my parents had taken that in. A mom who at 16 entered the convent in Belfast, and she was born in 1933, so in the 40s, you know, of course took that in. And so part of her experience was shaped by that shaming. And that limited her life and, of course, led to depression and other things later. And then in my life, I inherited some of that too. It hadn't disappeared even in the 70s and 80s in rural Ireland. And so I find today that the Pacific School of Religion that Liz and I attended, it really works hard. And where Susan currently is, our minister in training, is really at the cutting edge of figuring out how to heal religion, especially our Christian roots, of that tendency to shame or to be afraid of people and ways of being in the world that are different. And it is such an act of liberation. And I bring this, you know, as on a societal measure, when people are liberated to be themselves, men and women, transgender, genderqueer people, it liberates everybody. This is something Liz brought up at our social justice meeting. And I read just in the news today, in countries where there is more gender equality, like in Iceland, which is the most, the life expectancy of men is equivalent to the life expectancy of women. And when you control for all other factors, it because of, directly, the causality is clear, of that equality, where gender equality has parity. And part of that being possible is when people come forward and say, I want to be whoever I want to be. I want to be a man who can have feminine traditionally understood as feminine traits. I want to be a woman who has masculine traits. I want to change my body so that my physical appearance expresses the core of who I feel I really am. And that is so liberatory of all of us and erases that shame. But part of it is, if we have been in that context, we almost always take in some shadows of that. So when I entered seminary at the time when Liz was just exiting, I had not processed the shame that I had grown up with in a Catholic church around LGBTQ stuff, stuff about sexuality, about being a woman. And it wasn't until I started spiritual direction and started the work of becoming a pastor that I began that work so that I could undo my shame, so that I could stop blaming other people for the things that went wrong in my life and then shaming myself for the mistakes that I made. And I bring that up because all of that became part of my lost and found. So when I was rummaging around in my lost and found box in seminary, I discovered that there were some things that I was like, oh yeah, that can go. I don't need that one anymore. There's certain things that I can reclaim. I can reclaim self-confidence as a woman, the ability to be a pastor, a leader, to be queer in my own understanding of queer, to share joy in relationship in the way I experience joy in relationship. It was huge. But for me, that work is still not done. And I am still in counseling. I still have a spiritual director to help me continue to grow as a pastor so that I don't, in the institution of Christianity, recreate the shaming that happens. And I still make mistakes. All of you can tell me an instance where I made that mistake. And that is the reality. But part of becoming a shameless and graceful congregation is being honest about where we're at, looking at our own lost and found boxes as individuals and as communities, and then reclaiming the grace and the joy and growing. And it is a process that leads to reconnection with joy and to being found. And as adults, it is contrary to the scripture where the sheep sort of comes, one of the reasons this scripture doesn't quite resonate, the coin story I can get, but the metaphor of the shepherd never has quite worked in the modern context for me, just as the sheep has, because I believe people have agency. And what we've learned about shame is that in order to overcome shame and the reels of unworthiness that cycle in our minds, especially when we're tired, those reels, it is our responsibility to change them. And so we can't be just sheep. We have to reclaim the agency of ourselves to change the orientation of our lives. And in finding ourselves in that way, we allow ourselves to be found by other people, by grace, by an experience of the transcendent and the numinous. And so as we grow as a community, as we grow as individuals, I invite us to look at our lost and founds. So the reason I had my hat over the cross was, you know, back then when I was thinking about my hat, I hadn't even thought about seminary yet. But the bright cross, later on when I was able to reclaim parts of self, I was able to see a Christianity that was actually full of light and life and risenness and glory. And as I was able to transform myself and see a different lens of Christianity that I wanted to grow in and help communities grow in, life came back and grace came back and joy came back. And it really is a profound experience. And I see it, when I see joy in the world, I see that shame-free, joyful, graceful presence, something that is so worth cultivating. So I invite us all to do our own little inventory of our lost and found boxes. What do you need to let go of in the reels of your mind that are telling you that you are unworthy in some way? How can you begin to let go of these things? And at the same time, reclaim those parts of self that bring joy to yourself and to others. Maybe we collectively need to lose shame to find grace. And maybe in that loss and finding within ourselves, we can truly experience the transcendent, the joy of being the coin found, of being healed, but also of healing an institution that is still playing a huge role in the world, as we do too. In Jesus' name, amen.